Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 42, Only on God Do Thou My Soul, 42. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Let us pray. O Lord our God, your name is great, and you rule all things. We worship you, our God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We come to you, Lord, just as we are. We come at your bidding. We bring to you lives which fluctuate and vacillate, tossed about by the conflicts and doubts which are part and parcel of human life. We are often disturbed within ourselves by fears and uncertainties and by the record of our past life. We need your help, Lord, and we know that you will receive us. Welcome us back to our Father's house. Pardon our sins and cleanse from our life the stains which those sins have left. Bring to us the peace which can come from no other source. Enable us to live as true Christian people and to know the breadth and length and height and depth of your love, which is shown to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 139. Praise the Lord, you heavens, adore him. 139.
Amen.
We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 62 at verse 5. Psalm 62 at verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 14. Mark, chapter 1. Verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 340, When Jesus Saw the Fishermen, 340. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 17. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There is something good about living near the sea. For a while, we didn't know where we were going to live when we had to move from Berwickshire, but we've always been glad that we eventually settled here on the Ayrshire coast, still in sight of the sea. In our last months, we couldn't see the sea from the house, but we were not far away from it. The sea was easily reachable at Burnmouth or Eyemouth, And now we do live in sight of the sea, a privileged position indeed. Was there ever fishing on a great scale on this stretch of coast, I wonder? Bournemouth and Eyemouth both had active fishing fleets, and so had St. Abbs nearby. The Sea of Galilee now. There was a place for fishing. The Jewish historian Josephus tells us that at the time when Jesus was living his earthly life, there were 330 fishing boats in active service on that lake. Not surprising when we think about it. Fish was a main source of food, a staple diet. Not much meat was eaten. Meat was something of a special occasion delicacy. Fish was the regular diet for most people. So there were a lot of fishing boats, and so there were a lot of fishermen. So Jesus chose his first disciples from the largest workforce available in the area. But he didn't just choose them at random. He selected his men, and then he recruited them. It was probably not the first meeting of Jesus with those fishermen. They had been aware of him going about. Jesus had come on the public scene in Galilee, and many people had crowded round to hear him. Those disciples had possibly been in one of those crowds, so they at least knew who Jesus was, and he already knew something about them. For many years now in this country, we've been given very strongly the impression that everyone should try to get a university education, be able to say they've got a degree from some educational establishment. To that end, we have created universities at quite an alarming rate. We used to have only four in Scotland, and they were regarded as having some status in the educational world and something of a mystic aura about them. St. Andrews by the Northern Sea. That is a haunted town to me. It was a haunted town to the poet Andrew Lang a century and a half ago. Mystique and status. Now we have considerably more universities, but one does wonder about the status. Questions do arise about whether the universities have lowered standards in order to make their places available to more candidates. One doesn't want to be unkind. But although a country needs its academically educated people, it also needs a workforce of people whose trade does not require a qualification of academic standard. Jesus didn't require academic qualifications of his men. His first disciples were fishermen, not learned, not academically gifted, but men who were used to their work, no doubt good at their work, men with potential. That is the way with Jesus. He sees us not only as we are, he sees what we have the potential to become. In you and me, in every one of us human beings, there is the potential to do something for God, something particular to each one of us. Jesus is seeking to bring that out in us, make us into what we can be to serve God's eternal purpose. When Jesus called those men to become his first disciples, what were they busy doing at the time? They were busy with their job as fishermen, mending nets, attending to the boat, getting ready for the next fishing expedition. In other words, they were busy at their daily work. And so when Jesus called them, he was following an age-old tradition. The Old Testament has numerous instances of people being called to the service of God while they were busy doing their usual thing. Moses, minding sheep on the hillside, called to attention by the sight of a bush burning. David, called from his work out in the field to become king. Isaiah in the temple realizing that God wanted him to become a prophet. Amos, likewise, tending flocks and gathering sycamore fruit, when God spoke to him and called him to the work of a prophet. So often it happens. It still does happen, even in our day. God calls his men and women, often while they're busy doing what they normally do. And that is how it was with the first disciples of Jesus. Come with me, he said. Come with me and leave your fishing for fish. Come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus knew even then, when he was only just recruiting his first disciples, he knew what they were capable of, and he knew what he would eventually be sending them out to do. Going out into the world to tell the world about Jesus, yes, and not just to make known the facts about him. Certainly they would tell the story of his earthly life, and especially the story of his public ministry. That was where those disciples had come to know him. But they wouldn't just be telling people the facts of Jesus' earthly life. They'd be living with him, spiritually, living with him in a more real sense than when he was physically alive and accompanying with them every day. The disciples would be communicating not only the facts, but the personality of Jesus. That was the result of their having been with him those 3 years or so of his public ministry. That was the effect it had on them. When he sent them out into the world, he said he would be with them always. And he was with them in a very real sense. He was their life. He was living in them. They couldn't help but communicate the Lord himself to those with whom they came in contact. That is how the Christian church began. And that is how it began to grow and spread. The first disciples becoming fishers of men in the sense that people were caught, irresistibly attracted. The presence of Jesus had a profound effect on people during his earthly ministry, and the presence of Jesus was what made the difference thereafter and accounted for such success as his disciples had in becoming fishers of men. We ought to take account of the fact that this recruitment drive of Jesus and this sending out of his disciples to continue the recruitment drive, all this is ongoing. Jesus is still recruiting people to help him in his outreach to the world. It's a campaign which has known its ups and downs throughout the centuries, but it is still going on. And you and I are called to take our part in it. We need to remember what kind of men the original disciples were. Not outstanding men, not distinguished men. There have been, over the years, there have been distinguished men and women who've played their part in the Christian outreach. We must remain eternally grateful for the contribution they have made. But the original disciples, they were not outstanding or distinguished. And none of us is required to be this either. Jesus takes us as we are. Every day is a new day, a new opportunity, a new call to service. Every day we spend with the Lord Jesus Christ is making us more able for the task to which he calls us. Fishers of men and women and children. We may not know who are the men and women and children we catch for him. The original disciples didn't always know that, and neither did all the generations of servants who've taken part in the campaign over the centuries. But we don't need to know that. Our reward for this service is the same as the reward of those first disciples and those earlier generations of disciples who've given their best in serving the Master. To know that we are with him and he is with us through thick and thin and right to the end. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 509, Jesus Calls Us, 509. Let us pray. Almighty God, we would seek to give, as you constantly give. All that we have and handle comes to us as your free gift. We would seek always to bless you in our giving and in our ways of living, serving you as do the angels. We have many things, Lord, for which to thank you. We live this human life. We are able to come to church. We share love and friendship with other people. We enjoy all the effects of the goodness and mercy with which you have blessed us all our days. We thank you for the world about us, its wonder and beauty and possibilities, for the things which happen in your world which are good, for everything which tends to uplift the hearts of people. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your supreme gift to humankind, for the life he lived on earth, the teaching he gave, the example he showed, the death he died, the victory he gained over death and sin and evil, for the privilege of being able to share in that victory. Bless the church, Lord, and help it to reach people with your message. Help it to speak to people's condition in language they can understand. We pray for your help where there is trouble in the world. Bless and guide those in positions of authority, and help them to carry out their work for the benefit of all and not from selfish motives. We pray for all who are in any kind of trouble or difficulty, people who are ill, those who are concerned for dear ones who are ill, people who are having difficult times to go through or pressure to endure, those of whom we are thinking especially today. Bless and help them, Lord, and keep them safe. Even with our limited powers of thought, Lord, we reach beyond this human life and this physical world, and we thank you for the great truth and the great mystery by which we are held in union with all your servants of ages other than our own, both those whose earthly life is past in terms of time and those yet to come. By your grace, may we remain united in spirit and share in your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn number 513, Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble, 513. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.